thank you, thank you. He is with me to the end. Aren't you happy about that? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Praise the Lord. We serve a wonderful God that is always, always faithful. All right, John chapter number 20 in our Bibles this morning. The Gospel of John and chapter number 20. We've been in a series entitled He Must Increase for some time now. We're kind of winding this up. If you haven't looked already, John chapter 20 is right before John chapter 21, and John chapter 21 is the end of the book, all right? So, we're winding this thing up, and I tell you, it's been an encouragement to me. According to John's Gospel, when Jesus rose from the dead, he first met Mary Magdalene, and then he met with the disciples, and today he meets with, of course, the disciples and somebody that missed the first meeting, and his name was Thomas. Now, when I talk about Thomas in the Bible, what comes to mind? Do we not put his first name as Doubting Thomas? Wow. And that's the title of the message this morning. Don't be a Doubting Thomas. All right. Jesus meets with Mary Magdalene and meets with the disciples to reassure them and also to commission them for the work that he has for them. So I want to read our text, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and I want to give you a couple thoughts from this passage on this matter of not being a doubting Thomas. We can be hard on Thomas, but we've all been where Thomas is. And may the Lord help us to believe him no matter what. John 20 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And we'll end this chapter reading these verses here. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is this Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Lord, we pray that you would open up the truth now of your word to us. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it meets needs in our lives. And Lord, simply what we want this morning is for you to take your word and speak to each individual here. And Lord, we want you to glorify yourself through it. And Lord, we know that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith, having been here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you three simple thoughts this morning concerning not being a doubting Thomas. I don't think any of us, if we had it our way, would say, I like Thomas, I want to be a doubter just like Thomas. I think we find ourselves, as we look at the Word of God, we recognize that we need to live by faith and not by sight. And so, number one, I want us to see this as we consider not being a doubting Thomas. Number one, the simple obvious is this. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. If you're going to not be a doubting Thomas, then don't miss out. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, but Thomas, God tells us this in his word, because he wants us to understand and learn from it. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now we know that Jesus came. We looked at this last week as we looked at Jesus coming and meeting with the disciples and helping the disciples to recognize that he had a job for them to do. obviously, they're meeting, they're gathered together, they're meeting secretly because they're afraid of the Jews, and Jesus shows up in their midst. Jesus is full of love and compassion, isn't he? He shows up and he communicates with them, but Thomas wasn't there. And 8 days went by where Thomas was living in a state of, can we use it, uncertainty? Because he hadn't seen and experienced what the other disciples experienced. What did Thomas miss not being there? Well, I want to just take a few minutes and review what we talked about last week, because I think it's important. He missed Christ's instruction concerning the motivation given. We see this in verse 20, where the Bible says, in verse number 20 of our text, and again, this is review from last week, and he said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. We recognize that Jesus is a risen Savior, and he was about to tell the disciples to go and preach. As a matter of fact, you see this in the book of Acts. What was the message they were to preach? They were to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so he's about to tell them, go preach the resurrection, preach the gospel. Before he does that, he shows them his hands and his side. They would recognize that they serve a risen Savior. And it's important for us to recognize this. We're on the winning team. We serve a risen Savior. He missed the instruction concerning the mandate that was given. We saw this in verse 21. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He was sending them as he was sent. He missed the teaching on the means giving, the Holy Spirit, verse number 22. And when he had breathed on them, he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the one that was going to make this happen. And then he missed the teaching concerning the message given in verse number 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained, which simply means this. The disciples did not provide forgiveness of sins. Only God can forgive sins. But they were able to declare the message of forgiveness. And do you know what? You and I have the same message. Jesus died. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. If you're here this morning and you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you've asked him to forgive you of your sin, and you placed your faith in him, he has forgiven your sin. You're on your way to heaven. He not only forgives us of our sin, but he gives us his righteousness. That's amazing. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is put on our account. Well, imagine Jesus. I mean, Jesus is here that Sunday night service, and he's communicating to the disciples great truth. But Thomas wasn't there. He missed out. I think concerning, I wonder how many times God has something for us. Thomas had to live with doubts for 8 days. I wonder sometimes how much God has something for us. Maybe a message. Maybe an encouraging word. Maybe a song. Maybe a prayer that will speak to our hearts. Maybe a testimony from somebody. And God has it ready for us, and he's ready to meet our need, and we're not there. We, for some reason, don't show up. Let me encourage you with this. Plan to be here every time the doors are open. Plan to say, hey, I'm not going to miss out on anything. I'm going to try to be there Sunday morning. I'm going to try to be there for Sunday school at 9:30. I'm going to try to be there on Sunday nights. Now, don't come tonight, all right? Don't come tonight because we won't be here. The one time I came, tonight we won't be here. We'll be here for this afternoon service. And I'm excited about that. I plan to come on Wednesday night. You know, sometimes I ask God every service, would you meet with us? And you see, that's a little subjective. It is somewhat subjective, but God does meet with us. You know, there are some times that God meets with us in a special way. I can't really explain it. A few weeks ago, it was a Wednesday night, I think it was, and Steve and I were driving home, and I said, you know what, Steve, I believe that God really met with us tonight. And he said, I believe he did too. How do you explain that to somebody that wasn't here? You say, well, what do you mean? They want more details, and sometimes it's hard to give details, except that somehow God's presence was real. somehow God moved in people's hearts in a special way. And we ought to say, you know what, I don't want to miss out. We had a building, and we went through the building, and the building time was, I'm telling you, it was a challenge. And some people, God moved from us to other places, and some God was in, and maybe some God wasn't in, but that's between them and God. But here was my burden. My burden was this. God is about to do a miracle here at Victory Baptist Church, and you are leaving on the brink of a miracle. Can you imagine somebody, one of the Israelites, standing at the Red Sea, looking at all that water, and somehow saying, I'm out of here. Somehow sneaking away into the woods and finding their way maybe back to Egypt and sneaking in a back door and saying, hi, I couldn't, I left there. Can you imagine what they would have missed? They would have missed a great miraculous demonstration of God's power as God parted the Red Sea and as the children of Israel walked through on dry ground and then God closed the sea upon the Egyptians. What a miracle! And God would bring these things back to his people over the years. He'd say, remember the Red Sea? Remember what I did in delivering you? And I think concerning our church, as we went through this trial with this building, I don't know about you, but I will never forget what God did here for the rest of my entire life. Matter of fact, I have. Let me see if I put it in the back of this. I carry around, I sometimes take it out for Sunday. Oh, let's see, I saw it this morning. I must have taken it out. There are certain things that I didn't take it out. Look at this, I carry this with me in my Bible, and I will for the rest of my life, right here. Ready? Oh, you're cheating. Open House Sunday, July 28th, 2019. You know why? Because this is a memorial to me of what God did, and God's able. That's why those little cups say he's more than able, because as a little church, God used us. A $1 million building is out there, and we don't know anything. To God be the glory, great things he have done. It's not us. It's way bigger than us. But God did it. I don't know about you, but I through the trial, I'm like, whoa. I don't like roller coasters. It was a roller coaster. Whoa. I was sure glad when that coaster stopped and I got off and whoo, there's the building. You know, God did it. And God wants to work. And God, this is God's church. And God will meet with us. And he'll move in a special way. And you know what? I want to be there. Can I say this? There are times in my devotions when I get up in the morning and I try to sit down in my little recliner chair with a cup of coffee and just wonderful, wonderful. Nice cup of coffee, cream and sugar. Dunkin' Donuts brand this morning because I had to treat myself. And I'm there and the light's shining and there's all quiet. It's just me and Jesus. If you get a busy signal, you know, between 6:30-ish, that's because I'm taking the Lord's time up. Linda got my joke. I'm just kidding. You don't get a busy signal. Come on, some of you got to wake up here a little bit. I just wake up a little bit. But you know, there are some times when the Lord speaks to me. The Lord shows me a verse. I shared it with Sunday school a couple weeks ago. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Well, God thinks a lot of nice, good things. Then it dawned on me, there is the numbers as the sand of the sea. And I thought, God thinks about me all the time. I don't understand that. You know, there are times in the morning where the Lord meets with me in a special way. And you know what? I'm no different than anybody else. You can attest, too, as you get up in the morning and you read your Bible, there are times when God meets with you in a special way, too, aren't there? I think sometimes God wants to meet with us as individuals, but sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we get up and we get to the things that we have to do and we miss out on that opportunity to hear from the Lord. Somebody said it this way, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings. Now, this is a little theologically not accurate, except for the fact that there are times we live aware of God's presence and times we live unaware of God's presence. The fact is, He's with us always. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. And we know He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but what do we know? We know that there's a precious sweetness of meeting with the Lord, and sometimes we find ourselves doubting. Sometimes we find ourselves living for a few days. In Thomas's case, it was 8 days, still doubting what happened, still doubting the resurrection of the Lord. And we don't need to doubt. We've got the truth of the Word of God. And what I'm saying is, we find ourselves doubting when we miss out on meeting with Him. Number two, I want you to see this. I want you to see, not only do we need not, don't miss out, but if you're not going to be a doubting Thomas, number two, don't shut out. Don't shut out. You see, what are we talking about here? Well, look at the Bible and go to John 20 and verse number 25, the beginning. The other disciples therefore said unto him, okay, so it's like Thomas missed. The other disciples, they see Jesus and they come to Thomas and they say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Thomas says, I don't care what you've seen. I don't believe it. We'll talk about his stubbornness in our third truth here, or third thought here for us. But I want us to see here, Thomas shut out the people in his life that could have helped him overcome this doubting that he had to go through for 8 days. They run to him. The disciples say to him, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas doesn't let them help him. And as I thought about this, I thought concerning the people that God puts in our lives to help us. God knows where we are. God knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows our name. He knows that we're just but dust. He remembers our frame, that we're just but dust. And you think about that, and there are times in our lives where I think that God will put it on another Christian's heart to communicate to us. How many of you have ever been through a time, and maybe you received a text, and somebody said, I'm praying for you. And see, all right, we got to do better if we don't have no more hands up. Because I encourage you every week to be an agent of God in the lives of other people. I have found sometimes God will put somebody on my heart. Sometimes I don't do anything about it. And I find out, oh, wow, God put this on my, I should have sent them a text. I should have called them. I should have communicated. You see, the body of Christ needs each other. We need one another. Part of coming to a church and being connected to a church is being connected to God's people, that we're all going through the same challenges. We're all human beings. We all have frustrations. We all have things in our lives that we wish we could change. And God, the Holy Spirit, lives in each of us. And He moves us, and He moves us to communicate to others and to try to be a help to them. The disciples were trying to help Thomas. I don't want to hear it. You ever tried to help somebody and you get a stiff arm? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Have you ever been tried to be helped by somebody and you gave the stiff arm? See, it goes both ways. And sometimes I think we resist it because we're supposed to speak the truth in love, and sometimes we don't. We speak the truth in roughness. I want you to think with me. Look at Acts chapter number 6. I had a number of illustrations, but we'll just look at one. Hold your place in John 20. Acts chapter number 6. Stephen is a member of a church here. He becomes, in my estimation, one of the first deacons. And in Acts chapter number 6 and verse 8, he's full of faith and power. Verse 10, He communicates, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. He had God's power on his life, spoke with wisdom, power. It was evident. They got mad. They didn't want to hear it. Verse 11, we've heard him speak blasphemies against Moses and against God. Verse 12, they stir up the people and the elders. In chapter 7, he's given audience, and he gives a great big huge sermon. Great big huge sermon until we find ourselves in chapter 7 and verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Well, I don't know about that. Gnashed on them with their teeth. I don't know. I wouldn't like that happen. Give somebody gospel, they bite you. I don't know about that. Bottom line is verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What was Stephen trying to do? He was trying to help him. He was trying to give him truth. He calls him a few verses earlier stiff-necked. Trying to help him, but they don't want to hear it. We know throughout the Word of God in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas show up in Philippi. They're trying to help them, trying to preach truth. The lady gets saved there, and Paul and Silas end up in jail. Why? They don't want to hear it. Later on in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26, he's talking to Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me, but I don't want to hear it. You see, if we resist, if we shut out the individuals that God brings into our lives to try to help us, we're going to find ourselves wallowing in unbelief. Why? Because God sent them to help us. I think concerning the individuals, we were out yesterday trying to tell people about Jesus, knocking on doors, had some good conversations with people. There was a couple times, I remember one in particular, where the guy looked at me and just closed the door. I don't think he liked the people I was with. I'm just kidding. Tommy and Dave are nice people. I was with them both. And, you know, the reality is he's stiff-armed. I don't want to hear it. Except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. We were trying to communicate to them how they could be saved. I don't want to hear it. And, you know, we can sympathize and we understand that, but sometimes God sends people in our paths. He'll send a parent to a young person. He'll send a Sunday school teacher to a parent concerning a young person. And the list can go on to try to do what? To try to help be what God wants us to be. And sometimes there's a stiff arm. Don't miss out. Don't shut out. Number three, and we'll be finished. Go back to our text in John chapter 20. And I'll give you the third thought when it comes to not being a doubting Thomas, and this is don't close out. Don't close out. Look at what he says in 25. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not. Thomas was stubborn about how he felt. He dug his heels in. He was close to the possibilities of this, unless he could see it. We could say it this way. It had to be his way or the highway. And do you know, sometimes we close out possibilities of God doing miraculous things, unless I see it. There are scores of Bible characters in the Word of God that were stubborn. They were set in their ways. I think concerning Judas. Here's Judas traveling with the disciples, hearing everything that Jesus would communicate to them, both privately and publicly. Here Judas is watching Jesus interact with people. Here Judas would listen to the words of Jesus as Jesus would preach to the multitudes. He would watch Jesus as Jesus performed miracles, and he never trusted Christ as Savior. He was closed to Jesus being his Messiah. I think of Saul in the Old Testament, first king of Israel, who wanted to do things his way. He wanted to do things his way, and doing things his way got him into trouble. Got him removed as king, and eventually he fell on his own sword and committed suicide. Well, the list can go on about people in the Bible that were stubborn. Think about Pharaoh. Let my people go. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And we know Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. They were closed. Now, Thomas wasn't completely closed because Thomas shows up at the next service, and we'll see it in a minute. So thankfully, he wasn't that stubborn to where he said, y'all are crazy, I'm not showing up. No, he came to the next service. Somebody said this, or actually it was a historical account. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed that the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem like radar malfunction or even a thick fog. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain of each ship, was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear, but according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Each was too proud to yield first. By the time they came to their senses, it was too late. You read that and say, man, that's crazy. People's lives were killed because of closed-mindedness. Thomas lived 8 days because he was kind of closed-minded. He said, except I see myself. Now, as I said earlier, I'm thankful that he wasn't so stubborn. He shows up for the service next week, verse number 26, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus says, peace be unto you. Aren't you glad that God is patient and so good to meet with us? By the way, we don't have record here. Unless I see his hands and his side and put my finger in there, I'm not going to believe. We don't have record that he actually had to put his finger in his side. He sees Jesus. Jesus presents himself. And Thomas says what? My Lord and my God. Then look at the verse number 29. Jesus says this, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We become a doubting Thomas when we miss out on opportunities to be with Jesus in whatever form they might be. When we shut out the individuals that God brings into our life to help us along. And when we close out the impossibilities that are possible with an almighty sovereign God. The last two verses of this chapter, and we'll be finished, give us a summary of the whole book. They give us a summary of the whole book. The Bible says, obviously, in verse 30, Jesus did many other signs which aren't written in this book. That's encouraging. But these are written, verse 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus died and rose again, that we might live, that we might have eternal life with him in heaven, but that we might have an abundant life here on earth as we walk with him, fellowship with him, and allow him to use us to impact others' life. It's about Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you and praise you for the privilege to open your word and just share. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, we do have times in our lives where we waffle from belief to unbelief. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn from Thomas not to be a doubter. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, if there's someone here and doesn't know for sure their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to heaven, Lord, would today be the day they trust you as Savior? Lord, I pray for your people. Lord, we've had some challenges this week and in past weeks, and it could have knocked us from faith to unbelief. But I pray you'd help us to leave here, every one of us to leave here today on the ground of faith, believing God. Lord, I pray you.